Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self-Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show, so please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
What's poppin', cool kid? How you been?
Oh, man, I've been really, it's been like an up and down week for me. It seemed like Sunday took forever to get here, but I'm glad it's finally here. How about you? What was the vibe of the week?
I mean, it's kind of been the same for me too. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's been it's been something in the air. It's just been weird lately. And
yes.
I don't know. Like, it's kind of hard to put, you know, put my finger on it, you know what I'm saying? But it's been like the four seasons of emotion, you know what I'm saying, this week. You know, one minute,
yeah,
you know, everything cool, calm, and collected, and then, you know, you wake up the next day like, what the fuck just happened? Like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's, I just been worrying about, like, you know, my people, you know what I'm saying? Like, not as like, you know, black people in general. Like, I do think about that as, you know, as often too, but, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about as far as, like, family members and, like, you know, close friends and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got a cousin in Arizona right now who's not doing too good right now. And, you know, just talked to them, like, last week or so, if that, you know what I'm saying? I think it may have been less than that, but yeah, it's not looking too good. But I hate to kind of like make it seem like, you know, it is what it is, like this shit's been happening, but like that's another stress right there. It's just for the simple fact that, you know, it's been so much death going on in 2020. Like, it's been crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, I don't know. Like, I've been trying to be in high spirits about it, you know what I'm saying, keeping myself occupied and stuff like that. But yeah, I just try to smile through it and try to, you know, get as many laughs and stuff as I can in, you know, just on a regular basis as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy dealing with pain, and we always try to like bounce back really quick, but allow yourself to feel. And, you know, I'm keeping your cousins in my prayers. And trust me, I've been there. And, you know, you're right. 2020 has been a whole lot of deaths. I thought 2016, it couldn't get no worse than that. But 2020 has been, like, just really just a year of, like, a bittersweet reflection. So I definitely understand that, man. So, well,
on a happier note, though.
Yeah.
I know we started off a little heavy,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Let's get the audience hyped up and shit. We don't need them crying too.
We needed that. Okay. Well, so on last week's episode, we had Latrice on, and we talked about why it is best to move in silence, because it can be very shocking when you grow up with a person and you think that this person's really in your corner, and you start to see, like, your tears are more dull than mine have been for you. I've been going out my way for you, and you really don't care. And, you know, the sad reality of that is, it's like DC said, like, this shit gave me chills when you said it last week. Like, you start to see who's really in your circle when you decide to grow up. Because you're going to see who wants to be stuck. And I didn't say this last week, but when you said that, it made me think about a situation that I was in where I was starting to notice that me and this person was growing apart. Because, like, whenever we would talk to, like, a new guy, we would always send pictures, you know what I'm saying? Like, just for safety, you know, because there was a point where there was so many African-American girls disappearing in Detroit. And I know you remember 2014.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, so, like, we just got into a habit of doing that, like, you know, because you don't know who you're dating. But she had sent me a picture, like, this was, like, 2 years ago when I was just in the state of, like, you know what, I really want to focus on myself. I'm sorry, last year. I want to focus on myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, she sent me a picture of this guy, and she was talking about, like, how, oh, he's the one and everything. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, you know, I'm really focusing on myself right now, and I'm not in the place to hear about your dating life, because it's going to trigger me to feel like I'm not valuable, because I always had a very hard time being by myself. And when I told her that, she took offense to it, like, well, I'm going to still continue to date guys, and whatever guy pays attention to me, I'm going to, you know, notice that. And I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to set a boundary here, and you're not listening to me. You get what I'm saying? So I just, you just realize, like, when you try to grow up, you know what I'm saying, other people will show you, like, no, I'm good where I'm at. So I just want to thank you for, you know, saying that last week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, let's get into the new topic tonight. For the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight, we are talking about petty or morals. And we are talking about it from a parent perspective. We are going to talk about some of the pet peeves that, you know, our parents had that we found so irritating, and like you know, that we thought were very irritating, like a lot of the things that they nitpicked about. And then we're going to talk about those same things that irritated us. What did we pick up on? So I guess I'm going to just ask you, I'm going to let you go first. What is, like, name the first pet peeve that you noticed about your mom or anybody who took a part in raising you, like, that you, you know what I'm saying, like, that used to irritate you, and why?
Shit, I probably, honestly, the promptness to chores, I think, was probably, like, one of the few, you know what I'm saying? But I think that's more of a common one, you know what I'm saying? Growing up, you're not really fond of, like, you know, cleaning, because that's the last thing you wanted to do as a kid, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't fun,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
Like, you really procrastinate on, you know, cleaning up and shit. And, like, I used to hate that it would be so prompt to where it was, like, you knew if you didn't do it right away and they coming home from work, you're like, oh, shit, let me try to get all this shit done. And then you realize you ain't do not a damn thing, so you trying to hurry up. You're like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take this L. You know what I'm saying? At least
right.
I got 50% of it done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that was definitely
that
was definitely one. Like, yeah, just being prompt on, like, cleaning shit up. Like, and then, like, I think because the power of being a parent is that you can kind of, like, you know, put certain duties, if not all duties, on your kid, you know what I'm saying? Because it'll be, quote-unquote, teaching them how to be responsible and everything like that, which I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, this shit was kind of true. It was just, you know, how it was kind of implemented on me, because it was just like, well, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, I get you working, but, like, what you going to do? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I used to feel the same way. Man, I was going to say to that, though, like, if you ever do get caught still cleaning when they come up, I used to just lie, like, man, I was just trying to go over it a second time to make sure that you didn't trip, so I'm sorry. I took 20 minutes longer in each room than I should have. That was my lie, and I'm sticking to it. But
let me be honest, though, I stuck at lying. So it was like, if I didn't do it and I know I'm about to get caught up, I'm like, fuck it. Like, it is what it is. I'm just going to get caught. Because, like, I feel like if I was to tell a lie, like, you know what I'm saying, it'd be the dumbest shit that just comes out my mouth, and they'd be like, for real? That's what you came up with? Like,
so this is what you're going to do? Yep.
Right.
Well, so the first one that I'm going to talk about is from my grandma, because my grandma played a big part in raising me when I was, like, a little kid. From, like, she had me from, like, 2 all the way up to 12. So whenever me or my sister would mess up in school, or we ever did something that she didn't like, my grandma would talk and lecture you the whole way home, okay? And there would be times where, like, she will stop, you know, go to the bank or go to the grocery store, and you think that she would forget about it while she's in the store. So you're like, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? I finally got out the way. She would get back in the car and start from where she stopped at, like, messing up in school. I'm like, oh, my God. So
messing up in school,
like,
shit.
Yes, like it used to just really irritate me, like, dog, like, do you like to hear yourself talk? Like, I get
Right.
it. I get it. So, yeah, that was definitely a pet peeve for me because it was like, okay, now, like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to talk my way. Like, that was my punishment. So, what about you? What's the next one?
That's crazy. I don't know if this one is necessarily a pet peeve, but the one thing that got on my fucking nerves, and I probably should have said this one first, but it just popped in my head. Mm-hmm. When they go shopping. Oh, when they go shopping. Like, it was worse when I was, like, into, like, TV shows and shit. Like, for example, like, wrestling. Like, I was big on wrestling, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. And it never failed. Like, every time, like, wrestling was scheduled to come on TV, this nigga be at the stove and be, like, there for, like, hours as if, like, you've never seen this shit on the shelves before. I'm like, man, I'm trying to get home. Stone Cold about to come out, like, you know, return
yes.
from an injury and shit. Like, I'm trying to get to the plan with me. So I would be walking
right.
around just pissed off, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and sometimes, like, it would work where, like, if you see your kid irritated and shit, because, like, I was kind of good with body language. So my body language would kind of tell you, like, I'm ready to go, or however way I'm feeling, my body language would tell you. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And it was like, it will be a hit and miss sometimes. Sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I get irritated, she'll get irritated. And I'm like, nigga, that wasn't part of the plan. The part of the plan was for you to hurry up so we could go. And then it's like when they leave that store, you be thinking like, okay, we done. And sometimes that do be happening. Like, sometimes we'll leave the store and, like, we'll be done. But then you got to take the longest fucking route home. I'm like, oh, now you really killing me. Like, not only did we just spend an hour and a half in the fucking store, but now you about to take a 45-minute detour to the crib? Like, oh, my God.
Right.
Like, every time that
yeah.
would happen, I was like, dog, I can't wait till I get my own fucking car. Like, I couldn't
oh
wait
God.
Till I get my own car. Because I was like, you know what? Like, you could do all this shit by yourself. Like, I'm good.
Yes. Man. Okay, well, my second pet peeve before you get into your question was my mom. Oh, my gosh. Every time I brought home a report card, I'm talking about A's and B's. Probably had like a 3.5, 3.3. I think the highest I ever had was a 3.7. She would always say, congratulations, but that was good, but you could do better. And I'd be like, dog, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what the? I'm like, Tyrese, what more do you want from me? Like, I can't get straight A's. Yes, like, I can't get straight A's. Like, I don't think parents understand the distractions that went on in the classroom. You had the class clown that was funny as shit, so you got to laugh and everything. Then you had the guys that was touching the girls sexually and getting slapped the shit out of in the background. They didn't know that these girls had some hands. Like, it was just so much going on. Like, you had people talking shit about people. You had people ready to fight in the hall. It was too much, okay? So I couldn't get straight A's. You're going to get a B plus or an A minus at the most. But
yeah.
I don't know. That shit used to just irk me so much. So I was like, at one time I was rebellious. Like, I am not proud to say this, but I let my shit slope down to 1.5. Like, yep, how's good? How good is that? I was so pissed. I'm sorry. I can be very spiteful, but I fucked myself up from getting into college. Had to go to a trade school first, but it's cool.
Well, I mean, shit, like, everybody ain't built to be, like, an A-plus extraordinaire. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like,
right.
just like the examples that you put out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Shit, we got to stay hip with everything. You know what I'm saying? Because in school, being the lame was not an exception. Like, even if you was, you know, categorized as being a lame, like that shit still was not acceptable. So, like, you
mm-hmm.
got to try to figure out some way, somehow, to just be a certain level of, you know, popular or some shit like that. Like, you had to be significant. Whoa, shit, I can't say that shit. You had to have some type of significant way
yeah.
of, you know, being popular. You know what I'm saying? But Yeah, that's crazy. 'Cause like I know, like for me, like when it came to like you know parent versus school type of shit, like I used to hate parent teacher conferences, dog.
Right.
And honestly, I would say like I probably blame the teachers. Teachers be try hard some fucking time, and I feel like they be picking on certain kids for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Because like I know for me, like it'll be sometimes where. You know, you'll get a letter sent home, you know, as a reminder that parent teacher conferences is coming up. But I feel like the teachers, they
Right.
be tryhards, they be fucking with the kids that like, you know, that be, you know, that be needing like extra help, or they, you know, they at a certain grade level to where it's like, yeah, I gotta definitely see this parent because I need to let them know what the fuck their kid doing in
Yes.
school. So they
Right.
asses got the audacity to be fucking calling and leaving voicemails and shit. So I'm like, dog, whoa, man, you sent a letter home. Like you, that wasn't enough for you. Like
Right.
you don't understand. You fucking up my household right now. Now you just being extra. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like when they get to meeting your parents and shit at the parent teacher conference, then they want to try to soften the blow and shit. Like, nah, keep that same energy. Like you know, you had all that fucking energy to try to get me, you know, put on blast. Like continue it now because I'm already in trouble. I'm about to have like a whole damn lecture on the way home. Like just like how you said with your grandmother, like you know, all that fucking up the school and shit, and you want something for Christmas. You ain't getting shit for Christmas. Like see what you done did? And then I got and then the next day I gotta look at this motherfucker in the face at school as if you just ain't had me be put on blast yesterday.
Right, how's your day going? Bitch, fuck you, shit.
Right. Straight like that,
Yes,
period.
chill.
But what was I about to say? Damn, I just lost my train of thought. Because I was about to ask you a question. I just lost my train of thought. But, okay. Who do you think was the worst between your mom and your grandmother?
Like you mean with what, pet peeves?
Yeah, as far as like with pet peeves. Because you were you basically have both of them in your life as far as like, you know, like you know, being caregivers, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, I'm not even gonna say that they like who was worse. I mean, like who irritated me more? I can't get what you mean. Like, my grandma. My grandma was born in the late 1940s, okay? And oh my God, I remember one time she was mad as hell because she did not like it if you would squeeze the toothpaste bottle from the middle. She always wanted
Oh
you to
my
start
God.
from the bottom. Oh, I used to just look at her like, yo, are we really having this conversation? And I know like my grandma was like very, very she knew how to trick you into telling on yourself. Like I used to have to wear glasses. I still have to wear glasses to this day, but I'm in denial. But I started wearing glasses, I want to say like in third grade. And by my fourth grade year, I didn't want to wear it no more because kids like to call you four-eyed. So my grandma was like, oh, you don't wear your glasses no more? And I'm like, no, you know, I can see my vision is getting better because, you know, back then they used to give you the eye exams at school. And I'm like, yeah, the instructor said my eyes are getting better. So we was trying to find this store for me to get some dance recital stuff because I was in dance classes at this time. So she was like, what does that address say up there? I could not see. I was nearsighted. I'm sorry, and I could not see far away. So I was struggling. She's like, "See, you ask to see if you have some glasses." Like, dog. She used to just know. Like she was always two steps ahead of you. And it's like looking back at it now, it's like, dog. Like I cherish those memories because like I would give anything to have them back. You know what I'm saying? Like my grandma was just like she was on. She knew how to call you on your bullshit, and she taught me how to do that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. What about you though?
Well, I mean, considering that my mom was the only factor in my life, she was definitely the worst, unanimously. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I had a little quick story. So
Okay, sure.
this one was basically where like And I'm sure a lot of parents, because I think I may have picked up on this a little bit too, but not necessarily because my kid, she's a little shy when it comes to talking to the doctors or whatever. But
yeah,
for me and my mom, like, I feel like I was incapable of telling the truth when I went to the doctor's office. And I was scared for a minute to actually tell the truth about, you know, my health when going to the doctor's office, because and this one time I went, and I think I was just going for a physical or some shit. And the doctor had me lay on the bed or whatever, and he was pushing my legs individually, you know, basically to my head or whatever, and was asking me, did I feel anything? And I was like, yeah, I felt a little something in my back, right? The sigh and the huffing and puffing that my mom did. And I was like, oh, shit, was I not supposed to say that? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't remember exactly what those type of side effects can lead up to, but they thought I had something that, you know, that was wrong with my back or whatever. So I got admitted to the hospital, actually, right after that doctor visit or whatever. So, like, when he left out the room or whatever, she was like, "How the fuck you say that shit? What the fuck wrong with you?" Like, well, nigga, like, I saw something in my back. Like, I mean, I stretched this morning. Oh, what you want me to do? Like, I mean, like, he extended my shit. I ain't know what this fucking say. Like, was I supposed to say I was fine? Like, no, I felt something on my back. He asked and I said it.
Oh,
like, you wouldn't like it if I lied to you, not did you? Like, you know what I'm saying? But shit, honestly, shit, like, that was probably like the best truth. That was probably the best thing I told the truth on, because shit, I was in the hospital just chilling. I was eating Jello and shit, playing the 64.
Oh shit!
And every damn thing, like, shit, I was in there. I was living the dream, nigga. I was living like a mob boss in prison.
Oh wow!
Hey, everything, like, it was gravy out there.
Well, let me ask you this then: what lessons do you think our parents were trying to teach us back then? Like, with all that nitpicking, like, what lessons did you get out of, you know, the things that your mom did?
Well, definitely the prop is something that I had inherited. I inherited it that because I feel like, you know, if you're prompt with doing things, like, you kind of, you know, you steer away from procrastination a lot. And especially being an adult, knowing the difference between the two now, like, it's a good thing to be on your shit nowadays, you know what I'm saying? Because that, you know, that ties into, you know, paying bills and, you know, just taking care of adult business and shit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, if you're a parent, you know, you'll be prompt to making sure that, you know, your child has everything it needs, or, you know, that they health is straight and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? Just being on your shit. I feel like that was kind of lesson learned from that. And shit, as far as like, yeah, like, even with like, cause even like with little, you know, like the grocery shop and shit that I was saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, I probably spend a half an hour tops in a grocery store. And that just depends on if it's crowded. You know what I'm saying? Because I already know what I'm going in there for. I already got a list. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have my calculator out just to, you know, just to see how much I'm going to spend, you know, roughly. You know what I'm saying? Like all that little shit that I was, you know, nitpicking and, you know, getting frustrated with her about, I actually started utilizing that shit. And it actually kind of helps out, you know what I'm saying? Because I could do so much in a day. Like, it's crazy now. Shit, what was I about to say? And chores. Like, nowadays, like, it feels good to have a fucking clean household. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I inherited that shit too. Like, especially like on Sundays, because, like, I'm sure everybody fucking parent or mom has done this on every Sunday. You know what I'm saying? You wake up to smelling pine saw and you hear jazz or gospel playing. And I swear to God, like, I do that same shit now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I make sure that, you know what I'm saying, if I got carpet fresheners on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'll either have jazz sometimes, or, you know, I'll have, like, you know, some type of old school hip hop playing or some shit like that. And I'll just be cleaning. You know what I'm saying? Like, the things that I hated doing, you know what I'm saying, when I was forced to do it as a child, I actually do now. You know what I'm saying? Which is weird. You know what I'm saying? But that's the part of being an adult, you know what I'm saying? And looking back on it, like, I'm glad that I kind of got put into the routine of doing those things, because you got people that basically weren't taught to do those things, and, you know, come being an adult, like, they don't even know how to fucking use a vacuum cleaner, you know what I'm saying, or know how to sweep a floor properly, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, or, you know what I'm saying, have the courage to, you know, just go to the doctor, or, you know what I'm saying, or aren't too organized with, you know, taking care of business and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm actually glad I kind of, like, went through some of that shit, even though it was a pain in the ass, but, you know, glad I went through it.
Okay. So, well, what I learned from my mom with the whole "that was good, that you could do better," what I learned from that is never get content with where you are. Know your self-worth and know that you always deserve the best. And if you're not getting served that, never be afraid to walk away from that table. And it has been a gift and a curse, but I see the results and I see where I'm at today. And it's like I never settled. You know, like, there have been so many places, low points in my life where I could have gave up, but I kept fighting myself back up to the top. You know, like, that's one thing that I admired about my mom. Like, even though, like, we were the perfect strangers, I admired how this lady was 4'9¼", but she didn't fear anyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was a warrior in the streets, and she was a warrior in the army as well. Like, you know, she was a soldier. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. She lived next to the KKK, and she fought the son that used to call her nigga, nigga, nigga. And one time he spit, and it landed on her, and she wasn't afraid to whoop his ass. Like, didn't think no repercussions. So, you know, I love her for that. And my grandmother, I get why she used to, like, talk so much about stuff and lecture. I think, like, she really wanted to instill in me and make sure that I got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that education is the most important thing, because it was something that she, you know what I'm saying, like, really had to fight for. You know what I'm saying? Like, her times and my times look so different. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that, like, I don't know, like, it really taught me, it taught me a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, she wanted to make sure that I was ready for the world. And I think that because she was so protective, I guess she didn't feel like, even like, she was protective even when I got to my adult years. I guess she felt like maybe I didn't raise her, you know what I'm saying, good enough to let her out there. Like, I'm noticing, I'm not even a parent, but I'm noticing with parenting, I can imagine, you know what I'm saying, raising my child and then having that question when it's time for them to go off to college. Damn, did I do a good job? Are they going to be okay? Like, I took my hat off to y'all, because I'm pretty sure y'all worry about y'all kids 24/7. That's too much anxiety for me. So it's like, I get why she was so protective, because she never knew when it was okay to finally let go. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like even the, like, the things that we're talking about, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is going to be a generational topic and discussion that's going to, you know, that's going to continue to happen, you know what I'm saying? And I feel where your grandma is coming from, because, you know, like I said, as a parent, you know, speaking as a parent, you know, is especially in our days, like, you just never know when it's going to be okay to let go. And, you know, considering how things is going now, I wouldn't recommend you ever let go. You know what I'm saying? To a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, always still, you know, be there. You know what I'm saying? Whatever grudges you have, like, prevent that shit from even happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't want to, you know, let your kids off into this world and, you know, just let them just roam freely. You know what I'm saying? Because it's dangerous as hell out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, shit, even to this day, like, you know, I try so hard to, you know, mold my kid into what she needs to be. And I always, you know, question whether I'm doing a good job or not. And, you know, I always get told that I'm, you know, I'm doing a good job and everything like that. But, you know, I don't want to let the validation of others, you know, give me the okay, like, yeah, I am doing a good job, so let me, you know, kind of just dumb it down a bit. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm gonna keep pushing as if I'm not doing good at all. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not looking to be validated as, you know, like daddy of the year or the century or however you want to validate it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be an individual raising, you know, another individual, you know, for them to succeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's like with everything that she do, you know what I'm saying? Like with everything that she do, you know, I try to, you know, pinpoint it to, you know, just to kind of keep her to focus on it. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a lot of times, like, parents don't necessarily, they do have it, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying, whether it's, you know, whether it is a certain talent of, you know, being able to, like, for her, she can draw really good. Like, she can look at a picture and, you know, outline it, you know what I'm saying, curve for curve, point for point. You know
I've
what I'm
seen
saying?
The picture,
and,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, I attack that, you know what I'm saying? Like, because she's been doing it for years now, you know, and once I kind of noticed it, you know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, I got to get you into art school somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Just to keep that going. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know where they're, you know, what type of talents is going to be their outlet to something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. True, that part.
But my mom's tendencies of me growing up rubbed off on her a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But it's a little lighter because it's a dad and daughter kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not as hard on her. You know what I'm saying? Like I'll kind of like, you know, reassure her, like, okay, like you do have some chores, like you do got to do this, you do got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because the technology we had back then is nothing to what they got now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the technology has grown so much to where, like, everything, every interaction is with technology. You know what I'm saying? And it's like everything, you know, everything that they are into is within them phones or, you know, in YouTube or, you know, video games. That, like, you know, like the shit has been buffed up, you know, so much to where, like, these motherfuckers don't go outside. You know what I'm saying? I remember shit, like, everything that they do with technology, shit, we did outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you know, shit, we used to play pick 'em up, mess 'em up, basketball, hide and seek, and everything like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then get pissed off when the street lights come on because you know it's time to get your black ass in the house type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, these kids don't experience that.
Yeah.
And honestly,
but you know
I feel
what's
like
crazy
they don't
though?
Ever experience that. What's that?
I was gonna say, you know, it's crazy when they get older and the next generation comes, it's gonna be something that next generation has. They're gonna be like, "Damn, our times was different." I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, it's gonna be a generational, you know, topic to where, like, you know, the generation that's coming up is gonna be like, you know, damn, like, you know, like I remember, like, you know, we used to just sit. Well, I feel like honestly it's gonna be more so talking about 2020 for sure. Like 2020 is gonna be like such a historical landmark to where it's like it's gonna be talked about for years and years to come. Like this, I just want to give a special shout out to 2020. Fuck you, just fuck you.
Oh wow. Okay. I had one last question. It's a 2-part question. Before we segue, if that was okay. Okay, don't hang up the phone either. So the question is, do you think some of the ways that you picked up in your parents has been an issue for you in your relationships? And if so, why do you think we refuse to see our stubborn ways when someone addresses it to us?
Did I make you mad or something?
Oh, shoot. Man,
did I make you mad? God damn it. Okay. yeah, see, that was a lot. That was a lot to take in. Repeat the first half of the question. I'll answer it.
Okay, yeah,
like
just
that.
Answer the first. All right. Do you think some of the ways you picked up in your parents has been an issue for you in your relationships?
I feel like it has in a sense. Because growing up, I seen my mom, she didn't have, you know, guys in and out the house. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't see her bounce from man to man. So that I picked up from that, and you know, I kind of stuck with, well, seeing that, you know, made me feel like, okay, you need to stick with one person. You know what I'm saying? Allow yourself to stick with one person. But see, that was a gift and a curse within itself as well, because although I didn't see her with, you know, different guys and anything like that, but the relationships that she did, you know, put her all into were very toxic. You know what I'm saying? Like, particular individual, you know what I'm saying? Like, this was the type of nigga that would take a whole stove out the house. You know what I'm saying? Because they had an altercation or whatever. So we come home one day and the stove is gone. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it was his way of, I guess, quote unquote, getting some attention. You know, needless to say, they hashed it out, the stove came back. And, you know, just seeing altercations amongst them two was very toxic. And that kind of rubbed off into relationships with me, because from what I got from my mom is that stick it out until you can't no more. You know what I'm saying? And from what I've seen, that she, because from what I've seen she went through, it was like, okay, you went through some tough shit. So it's like, it taught me to just, like, you know, regardless of how bad it is, just try to stick it out until you can't no more. And, you know, unlike my mom, I kind of went through, you know, a few women. You know, I had like two serious relationships, and those two relationships, I stuck it out to where I couldn't stick it out anymore. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not gonna put all the blame on them. It was a 50-50 situation. You know what I'm saying? But you know, needless to say, they were toxic. But what I'm saying is, the courage was not built up to, you know, be like, okay, enough is enough in the early stages of it. I need to get the fuck on. You know what I'm saying? Before I feel like I can't emotionally get out of it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely get that.
But yeah,
So you want the second question?
Throw it out there.
The second part was, why do you think we refuse to see our stubborn ways when someone addresses it to us?
Well, I feel like because, like, I feel like, you know, because you, I guess because if I accepted the fact that, you know, I got certain traits from my mom, I feel like if you're addressing me and you're insulting me about it, then you're insulting her, I guess, in a sense. Like, if that makes sense. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's just a, I feel like it's just a pride thing. Like, most people don't like to get called out on their bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So I know with me, like, yeah, it was a pride thing, because I put so much effort into being a perfect person for who I was, you know, involved with. So it's like, if you put so much perfection on everything you try to contribute to a person, even just the littlest disagreement will be like, well, motherfucker, like, I put so much effort into this part. Like, how is this part not getting as much validation versus, you know, the dislike of what happened here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that was always my issue. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when I put my all into something, you know what I'm saying, it was validated, but I feel like I can see more, shit, what am I trying to say? More passion into what you disliked about what I did. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, that's just like what, for example, that's just like like with the report card thing that you were saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you got a A minus or like a B plus, but you could do better. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, when you finally get that A, it's like, good job. But it's like, when you get something below that, or like, you know, the worst thing, you can get an F. The motherfuckers put so much passion into how you shouldn't have never got that F. But when you get that A, it's like, nigga, good job. Like, I can't even get $10 for this A. Like, damn. But I can get an ass whooping for this F, though. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of
Exactly.
like how I looked at it, you know what I'm saying? But that, I think
Right.
that's only because like I put so much perfection on things. Like I try to be like a super perfection type of person, you know what I'm saying? Because
Right.
you know, I mean, who don't like, you know, being praised, I guess, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? But I
Yeah.
guess that's somewhat of a healthy, selfish act of wanting
Mm-hmm.
to be a perfect person in someone's eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Well,
mean, it could be damaging because you know, it the more you try to make yourself perfect in someone else's eyes, the worse it would be for you to not be able to take criticism.
okay. Well, I'm gonna answer so and I'm gonna answer quickly before we segue. So one of the ways that I picked up, I actually got pointed out in my current relationship. My boyfriend told me one time, I think like it was 4 months in, you know, we were arguing about something and I just kept going on and on and on about it, and he just shut down. And I think like, you know, we gave each other like, you know, our space for like 2 to 3 hours, and then we finally just came back and talked. And he told me, like, listen, I don't think you notice, but sometimes you go on and on about something, like, I don't get it. And you know what I'm saying? That makes me feel like you think that I don't understand, or I don't know how to comprehend, or that I'm like, you talking like I'm a child. And that was the first time, you know, hearing him say that, that was the first time that it really connected me back to like, damn, my grandma used to do this. And I told him that story. And I was like, you know, I said that was one thing that irritated me about her. And I didn't realize that I picked up on it. You know what I'm saying? And I can understand how that made you feel, because that's how that made me feel. So I'm
Right.
working on that. I'm working on that. But in the past, I was the person that refused to see my ways. I have my mom's anger. Like, I can be a firecracker. I'm like a little popper now with my attitude, but back then I could be a firecracker. If I didn't get my way, I was calling you. Like, if you hung up on me in the middle of an argument in a relationship, I'm calling your phone back to back to back until you answer. You know what I'm saying? Or like, if you play stupid, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, like, what you said, my mom kind of taught me that too. Stick it out in relationships until you can't no more either. But she didn't tell me how draining it feels. She didn't tell
Right.
me, you know what I'm saying, how you lose yourself. She didn't tell me how it damages your self-esteem and stuff. But like, I remember, I seen it in her eyes. I seen her trying to numb it, you know what I'm saying, like with substances and everything, because it was like there's no way that this relationship is going to last. But in her mind, she thought that that was the best that she could get, you know what I'm saying? And it makes sense of why she pressured me to be better, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't settle, don't let this be your turning point. So yeah.
There.
And I just think people sometimes refuse to see their stubborn ways, because I think everybody, this is just my personal opinion, I feel like everybody has a sense of looking for approval. If you know, like if they can't find it in themselves, they're trying to find it through other people. They have this sense to be like, and you know what I'm saying, it's uncomfortable to know that someone doesn't like you. You get what I'm saying? So it's like when someone tries to tell you like, hey, you know, like you have a you think you're better than me attitude. What? Where is that coming from? Like, you refuse to believe it, because it's like that means that if you're pointing out a toxic trait in me, that means that there's something wrong with me. And it's okay, because sometimes we don't know that we are being toxic. Everybody has their own perspective, and no one's wrong from the way they look at it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's my take on it. So, that was definitely a good segment. Like, damn, I wasn't expecting to get those little epiphanies tonight. Thank you for that. So we can segue right into shout outs and appreciations. Do you see what you got for us?
Well, first and foremost, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab. This platform has been very therapeutic for me, and it's been allowing me to be a better person on a regular basis. Shout out to you, Complex, for allowing me to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Because without you, there'd be no DC. And shout out to God, because without God, there would be no Self-Love Is My Rehab. There would be no Complex. There would be no DC. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. That's my baby. Don't play with it. You know what I'm saying? It's doing good as usual. You know what I'm saying? That's the only extension I'm going to, you know, gloat about that. You know, stay tuned. Moving in silence is key. Don't forget that.
Yes.
Shout out to Positive Vibes and Positive Energy, man. And, you know what I'm saying, prayers to everybody that's going through, you know, anything and everything. You know what I'm saying? And I pray that everybody succeed, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day. And then shout out to people with negative vibes and energy as well. At the end of the day, we love you. We just waiting for you to catch up, mustard.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I'm going to say shout out to God, because without him, there wouldn't be a me. There wouldn't be this platform. There wouldn't be a DC. Like, there just wouldn't be life, you know what I'm saying, without him.
Exactly.
Having a close relationship with him has really helped me to have a close relationship with myself. I want to give a shout-out to my cousin Tiffany in Texas. She has been talking to me here and there about forgiveness and learning to find my own healing, because when people are in a hurt place, they may not always understand how they hurt you. They'll take it as an attack, and you have to learn to accept people for who they are. And I say that to say that I know I said a couple of podcast episodes before about, is it healthy to take things personal? And I said that it is healthy. I kind of like want to piggyback on that. I'm not reneging on what I said. People have a right to feel how they feel, but I am learning why people say don't take things personal, because my grandma used to say it all the time, and I felt like she was invalidating me. But now, being in my 30s, I'm looking at it like I was looking at it from a victim's perspective. You know, I was looking at it as in a personal attack, because I was at a low point, because I was in a hurt place. And I'm realizing that people tell you don't take things so personal, because everybody, whatever state of mind they are in at the time, that's the best that they can give you. When a person who has hurt you and treated you like shit, saying you ain't gonna find nothing else better than me, that's honestly what they believe, and that's honestly the best that they feel that they can give, because, you know what I'm saying, this is what you have allowed, and this is what you keep putting energy back into. And, you know, I've been taking things so personal. I've been, you know, looking at a lot of the things that happened to me, and I've been coming into a lot of awareness, and I've been making other people take the blame for things that I have allowed. And tonight before the show, I actually video called my nephew. I haven't talked to him on the phone in a year because of me and my sister not talking to each other. Like, you know, me and him would text every now and then, but I was always scared to call, because in my mind, I felt like if she's mad at me, she's going to keep that relationship with him from me. But it's like, you know, I had to look at it like this. Like, my sister, you know what I'm saying, never really got in the way of our relationship before. You get what I'm saying? And I shouldn't have let that stop me. I still have to be for him what I didn't have, you know what I'm saying, and what he's never had. I have to be an auntie, because I never had that. And just talking to him today, his voice has gotten so deep. Like, I'm like, hello? Like, who is this? Like, he doesn't have the squeaky voice no more. So I'm saying out there, listeners, just, like, really learn. Don't take things so personal. Everybody is at different points in their life. And honestly, when you take things personal, it can make you miss out on the good moments in your life. Like, I am at a good space in my life, and I can't even enjoy it because I'm holding on to so much bitterness from people that have hurt me and are long gone and living with their life. And I'm just saying, you know, learn to find healing within yourself and learn to find self-worth within yourself. So, yes, I'm sorry I had to get a little long-winded, but that was the epiphany I had. That's why I said this week has been the up and down one. But I also want to shout out Justin Gambino and Giselle on Facebook for answering the Stimulate Your Mind question. Both of them said that they are distracted and trying to get back to being focused. And Justin said that he's like basically like a little bit of both. And I felt both of that. So with that being said, are you ready to get your mind stimulated, DC?
Sure, let's stimulate that mind, Kareem.
All right. So this one this week is, why is it easier to kiss the pain with an apology but not make the change for growth? So this question is for ourselves. Basically, why do we continue to tell ourselves we'll never put ourselves through the same type of scenarios, but we don't change up our habits to get the different results? So, DC, you got the flow.
Who said this question?
Me.
Man, what's been wrong with you, man? you about to start making me feel like this. I'm not no little bitch.
Oh, God. Just puff your cigarette.
Yeah, run that question back one more time.
Why is it easier to kiss the pain with an apology but not make the change for growth?
Why is it easier? Go ahead.
Like, basically, like, things that keep coming up in your life and you keep failing at it, Why haven't you changed your habits to get different results? Like, why have you just accepted, you know what I'm saying, like, continuously doing, like, why do you think that the habits that have keep failing you, why do you think it's going to give you, like, different results one day?
I think a person is just not necessarily woke about it. You know, they could be naive to it. You know, they could be blindsided about the fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if I ever had an experience of that. I mean, I guess I'm kind of going through that now in a sense. I mean, okay, I'll put it to you like this. It's kind of like, damn, this one got me stumbled, bro.
first time in a while that I stumbled, Joe.
Yeah, first time in a while. This one got me stumbled.
You want me to answer first?
I mean, yeah, answer that real quick.
Okay. So the reason why I came up with this question is because I've noticed that I will tell myself an apology. I will apologize for putting myself through certain things, but then I continue to do it afterwards. You know, like, prime example, I'm a real and raw person, so I'm just going to rip this Band-Aid off. I was very promiscuous, like I said before, because I was molested. And there were times during my single phase, like in college, where it was like I was sleeping with like different guys, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't know how to put emotion with sex. I was very detached when it came to showing emotion. Like, any guy that showed emotion, I'm like, okay, you're being weird, you're being too soft, you know. I was really thinking that I could find love through sex. And I used to always cry at night afterwards because it was like, I'm thinking that solidified the relationship. And then I was curious to why I wouldn't hear from the guy no more. And it's like, hey, he already got what he wanted, you know what I'm saying? Because I moved so fast. I never, like, you know what I'm saying, really got to know the guy and just, like, really be friends first. No sex on the table. Really see, like, who this person is. And, you know, it took for me, like, honestly, to meet the guy that I'm with now. It took for me to meet him back then. And he was just, like, such a happy person. I'm talking about, like, was not afraid to be his goofy self. And I'm like, who is this tall guy, you know what I'm saying, very handsome and everything like that, but like, he's so goofy, you know what I'm saying, like Like you know, like, does he take life serious? Like, I was really thinking this, but then it's like,
right.
that's what I liked about him, and that's what drew me to him, because he wasn't afraid to be goofy. That was something that I couldn't be. I was always taught to be so serious growing up. So he taught me how to incorporate fun back into my life. But I knew that I had all this fucked up shit going on. So I'm like, okay, he's handsome and everything like that, but do you really want to force and rush a relationship, and you might push him away? Like, this is actually like a good person. Like, just be friends first. What is the worst that could happen? Because I used to think back then, I got to put a time limit on being in a relationship because I got to get married by 25. I got to have kids by I tried to plan my life out. You get what I'm saying? And it's like,
right.
It didn't work. You know what I'm saying? I was either rushing into stuff and guys was, you know, like the disappointment would come a month later, or I was in a relationship settling, knowing I wasn't happy, but I wanted to have somebody on my side because I thought, like, you know, having someone next to me would make me happy. So
right.
Changing that up, taking sex off the table, like, I see where we're at today and it's like, wow, like, I finally did something different. But it's very hard to change. So that's why. But if you can answer now.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the difference factor is what
mm-hmm.
gets us, you know what I'm saying? The acceptance of knowing that you have to make certain adjustments in your life to have better results, so to speak. Because, I mean, I can relate when it comes to, you know, that whole relationship factor that you just spoke about. I was kind
mm-hmm.
of the same way. Let's be honest. I mean, I feel like, honestly, in all relationships in the beginning stage, that's just nothing but pure lust. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, everybody wants to fuck first, be friends later. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's kind of where, like, everybody kind of always, you know, transitions into a relationship. And that's where, you know, sometimes, they 9 times out of 10 they won't work. You know what I'm saying? They might
mm-hmm.
work a little longer than others, but at the end of the day, they won't work because you don't know that person. You just only know what they're good at in bed. But
yes.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, because with me, it was definitely that, because the difference between me and you, like, you, excuse me, you say you detached yourself emotionally when it came to
mm-hmm.
that, right? When it
yeah.
came to, like, the whole sex factor of it. See, me, it was different. You know what I'm saying? Once we had intercourse, it was like you had my heart at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then that's when, you know, the try hard and everything like that. Because I'm not trying to say you didn't value, you know, yourself. But, like, I felt like after giving you
I didn't,
that,
though. It's the truth.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I valued my peace. I love my peace.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got nicknamed Bougie Dick because I don't have sex with anybody and everybody. You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
like, if I did give you that, that was a part of me that I felt was part of my greatest attribute. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's something that I risked wholeheartedly. So
right.
it took up until, you know, really like my second last relationship to be like, okay, starting to realize shit is consistent with, you know, not with them, but with how I go into a relationship. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? And it's not purposely, but it's because that's what I knew. That's what I kind of, like, you know, that was
right.
a learned behavior. You know what I'm saying? It was learned action
yeah.
to how to get into a relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had this girl that I was talking to, and I wasn't looking for sex. And that was the crazy thing, because it was like, it took me to understand that, you know, that the learned behavior and the learned actions that I was going through in previous relationships, it kind of clicked to me. It was like, okay, let's try something different then. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, like, my mind was just in, you know, rehabilitation mode. It was like, okay, let's do some TLC. Let's do some internal care real quick. Like, let's
mm-hmm.
figure out, you know, certain game plans, certain different strategies, you know what I'm saying, as to what may be going on in this particular department. So when I
mm-hmm.
started started to engage in this one girl that I was talking to, I let them know off the bat, like, you know what I'm saying, like, that's not something that I'm asking for, you know what I'm saying, like, and it even sounded weird coming out. It was just like, you know, I'm looking for us to be friends first, you know what I'm saying, and mm-hmm. I feel like I made that gesture because, like you said, like, you put pressure on yourself to be at a certain standing with someone, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't have a time stamp as to when to get married, you know what I'm saying, to have kids and everything like that. Like, things, I kind of just let things flow on those significant mm-hmm. Titles or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Having a kid, that wasn't a time stamp. You know what I'm saying? That just kind of actually just happened. You know what I'm saying?
But see, the thing is with you, you're a guy. We have a, like, you can have kids at 55. You know what I'm saying? I don't think semen stops birthing. For a female, we have a ticking time clock, okay? And I really tried to plan it. And, you know, I just wanted to piggyback on what you said earlier. I don't take offense when you say that, you know what I'm saying, that you valued yourself. I really did not value myself, you know what I'm saying? Because I was molested, I was taught last year when I did an interview about molestation, that the reason why a female can become promiscuous is because our bodies were used for other people's pleasure. And, you know what I'm saying, they pleasure themselves without our permission. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you, when that right has been taken from you, you don't know how to get it back. You don't know how to, you know what I'm saying, especially like if you have low stuff. No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, like, I just wanted to bring that into the platform to let people out there, girls who are very promiscuous, not be afraid to like, admit that. You know what I'm saying? Like, people who get saved, don't be afraid to tell your story about how you used to be promiscuous, because molestation is very something. It's very something crazy. And it's like, when people don't talk to you about it, you struggle with it in silence, you know. But I was just saying, like, I wanted to say that for the listeners. If there's anybody out there who was promiscuous, I don't want her to feel like she's not valued. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still loved. So yeah, that's all.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like guys can go through that too. Cause I mean, I've had my encounter of that too as well. Like, mine's happened when I was at the age of 11 is when it happened. The girl was like 18 or whatever. So, I mean, it happened to me before too. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why I have such an attachment to, you know, women that I get involved with. You know what I'm saying? But it was just like, it was kind of like a reoccurring thing that I never paid attention to, because it was like, that happened, like, my virginity basically got taken, but then it was like, there was nothing after that. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, okay, so the next person that I give this to, I need to make sure they stay around. So it was like, how can I make sure they stay around? Just do the things that, you know, that will make them stay around. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, easiest pot. You know what I'm saying? But that wasn't the case. You know what I'm saying? Because not, you know, shit is different with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Some people can, like you said, you know, detach emotions from, you know, from sex, and sex can be just sex. You know what I'm saying? And you look at it completely differently. You know?
Well, no. What I meant was, I detached my emotions. I didn't know how to, like, express I love you through words. Like, I didn't know how to show affection. Like, I would talk shit. I would wrestle with my boyfriends. I would put all of my emotion into the sex, thinking that that's going to make you love me. Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. But, so with that being said, I'm going to let you close us out. But thank you for answering the question tonight. It wasn't even that bad. So, close us out with the dynamic quote.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of this crazy-ass show that Complex put together. Hope you guys enjoyed. It was wonderful. So be on blast like a motherfucker. But very good segment, none the least, on a serious note. Hopefully everybody got some good intel, and hopefully everybody enjoyed the pet peeves of our crazy-ass parents and everything like that. the dynamic quote for this evening is, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Now, this hit very close home to me, because I've always pressured myself and always beat myself up about situations that I can't change, you know, instead of looking at, you know, where I'm at right now and how I can, you know, correct my wrongs by starting off right where I am. You know what I'm saying? So basically, you know what I'm saying? Don't kill yourself over shit that you can't change. You know, just accept the fact that it is what it is. And, you know, just learn from it. Because at the end of the day, like I always say, you and God are the narratives of your story. You know what I'm saying? You are allowed to change ways, manifest things into your life to, you know, to live and, you know, to die a better one. You know? So with that being said, that is the dynamic quote of the week. Thanks you guys for tuning in. And with that being said, we are out. Deuces. Peace and love.
Peace and love.